around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Welcome to the Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Cap Hour, all hour today. Anyway, we'll have more on Stockman's Veterinary Clinic coming up here shortly. Meanwhile, looks like some areas have gotten some rain, and I think the rain is pretty much over for western Oklahoma and northwestern Oklahoma. I don't even know that you guys even got any. Might have got a sprinkle. I didn't get a bit of sprinkle down there west of Willow. I don't think I got anything there at Carter. Sayre didn't get anything. But last night, that one storm there north of Sayre and Elk City shot through there and then headed on up towards Butler and Thomas. Looks like they got anywhere from a quarter to 3/4 of an inch, and there's a couple of blue dots on my radar here showing they might have got an inch. I don't know if you did or not, but you got a good shower anyway. Out here west Elk City, west of the dump where I got the cows out of here, there was a little bit of water standing in the sand out there, so it was a nice shower. I don't know, half inch, 3/10, 4/10, something like that. Then today's storm come through, has started down there around Altus and headed up there, and looks like from north of Hobart through Sentinel to Cordell to Bessie to, maybe not Bessie, but from Cordell to Weatherford and stuff, it's still raining there, and you're getting anywhere from a quarter to an inch of rain already up towards Watonga and Gary, and in there and getting a nice shower. We have another shot of rain in the morning, according to the Mezzanette. And we'll see what happens with that. And then next Monday and Tuesday, a really good chance of rain. But that's a long ways off, and you know how weather changes. Meanwhile, let's see what's happening around here now. 46 at Arnett, 48 at Woodward, 49 at Slapout, 44 at Hollis, 43 at Hobart. Just in the upper 40s. It's breezy. That wind hit with a vengeance last night. I mean, I got a picture of a tumbleweed in a electrical pole with two transformers on it up there north of Willow this morning. It's just hanging in between them. I mean, it must have been in the air. So anyway, hopefully we get some rain this summer and we can, as farmers and ranchers, we can kind of keep the tumbleweeds under control this year, because they're out of control from last year. We need to try to do a little better job of letting the cows eat the fence rows down. That way we don't have to worry about it. So anyway, today, coming up in our second segment, coming up, we have Gary McManus. He's the state climatologist and the head guru for the Oklahoma Mezzanette. I got him on here for a while. We're going to talk about the development of the Mezzanette, because Oklahoma has one of the best, probably has the best Mezzanette in the United States compared to Texas and Kansas. And I'm not dogging on them. They're in the development of their Mezzanette, and they're coming right along. But right now, I mean, there's nothing you can't find on the Oklahoma Mezzanette when it comes to agriculture. I mean, soil temperatures, soil moisture. It's even got a deal in there to see when your cattle are stressing and the whole nine yards. Pretty cool system. So he'll be on here, and then I'm going to hit him up about what he thinks, what's happening with La Nina and what it's looking like down the road. And we got that going on. Meanwhile, hot off the press, let me find it. I've been waiting for this for days. Anyway, congratulations to Jimmy Taylor of the Taylor Ranch. They had the cattle producers had their deal for the NC National Beef Checkoff down at New Orleans last week, and new officers were elected. And cattle producers Jimmy Taylor, Andy Bishop, and Ryan Morehouse are the new leaders of the Cattlemen's Beef Promotion and Research Board, the CBB. This officer team is responsible for guiding the National Beef Checkoff through 2023. Taylor, Bishop, and Morehouse was elected by their fellow beef board members during their winter meetings held during the 23 Cattle Industry Convention in New Orleans, Louisiana. Taylor the 22 vice president or vice chair will now serve as the CBB's chair, while Bishop will transition from his role as the 2022 secretary treasurer to become the 23 vice chair. Morehouse is the newest member of the officer team, taking on Bishop's former responsibilities as secretary treasurer. Chair Jimmy Taylor and his wife, Tracy, run a commercial Angus herd near Cheyenne, Oklahoma, consisting of approximately 600 females on 12,000 acres. Their ranching efforts have earned them 2011 Certified Angus Beef Commitment to Excellence Award and the 2013 Oklahoma Angus Association Commercial Breeder of the Year. The use of artificial insemination and, well, I said that wrong, didn't I? Proper nutrition, genomics, and other new technologies play a large role in obtaining the operation's goal to create a good eating experience for the consumer. Taylor has also served on several local and state boards. He said as 2023 gets underway, demand for beef continues to be strong both domestically and internationally. However, ongoing drought and economic uncertainty continue to challenge our industry. As the new chair of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, I'm looking forward to working with our dedicated members and contractors to develop plans and initiatives designed to advance our industry and build upon the momentum generated through 2022. So congratulations to Mr. Jimmy Taylor, Cheyenne, Oklahoma, Roger Mills County. I think it's cool. I think it's really cool that he's got this. And also, Monty Tucker is the president of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association out of Roger Mills County. And so how cool is that? We got the state and the national president out of Oklahoma and out of one county. I think it's great. Congratulations to Jimmy again. And I hope the best for you and Mr. Monty Tucker as we advance forward, because I think it looks like things are turning around a little bit for our cattle producers. We got a long ways to go, but I think if everybody works together and plays, no matter what association, no matter what your beliefs are, if we'll work together, I honestly think things will get better for us, because it has been a tough last 12 to 24 months since COVID, basically, with all these high input costs and uncertainty going on. And we just need to all work together and work as a team, and I think it'll get better. How about that? Okay. I got a couple of things to announce before we take a break, before Gary comes on. Tonight at 5:00 at the Red Barn in Shattuck, Oklahoma, there'll be a meal going on. And at 6, the premium sale for Ellis County will be happening for their county kids. So go out and support your FFA and 4-H kids. Again, 5:00 at the Red Barn in Shattuck. This is for the Ellis County premium sale. They'll have a meal at 5:00 and the sale begins at 6. So they would appreciate it. One other thing, let me get back to my email here. Also, I need to put this out. Sean said something about it this morning, and I'm going to say something today, and I'll say something again Thursday. We need to all be aware of this. Coming up February 13th at 6:30 at the Elk City Hall, here on 3rd Street, the land grab, 30 by 30. Oklahoma landowners, this could affect you and your private property rights. National lands are being expanded in some states with boundaries that include private property. This is being done through the National Heritage Areas and other programs. And yes, it does concern us out here in Western Oklahoma, because the Chisholm Trail and the Great Western Trail have been identified as lands to incorporate in the national park system. On the trail or on their trail system, the federal government is implementing a 30 by 30 executive order to incorporate 30% of private land in the U.S. under federal control by 2030. And it's no joke. They tried it in Emporia. Angel Cushion will be the guest speaker at the City Hall. And I think she's coming on Thursday? No, she's coming on the day after this town hall meeting. But I had her on the show here a month or so ago. She was at Vice. So this is very important. I'm not trying to put conspiracy theories stuff into you guys' head and stuff. This right here, it's real. My daughter lived up there right next to what they were doing up there in Emporia, and my son-in-law gave me some details of what was going on, and they actually tried to do this. So, and Angel Cushing, she's the one that helped stop that. So this is very interesting. So you guys need to pay attention to what's going on. One more thing, Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is proudly serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle and is looking forward to continuing in 2023. They are excited to be a truly full-service mixed animal practice, providing veterinary medical care, boarding, and preventive herd health consultations and medications to all species. Matter of fact, she would be the go-to person for these $45 and $85 laying hens, because these are precious animals now worth a lot of money, so take care of your chickens. But if you got any problems, she's the go-to vet in Elk City, western Oklahoma, matter of fact. Take your chickens in there and see what's wrong with your eggs. How about that? With spring calving time upon us, we are here to provide assistance for calving emergencies as well as any related programs that might arise. Also, it's time to start planning your spring heifer AI projects and nutritionist plan to ensure your success. Wishing all of our clients and patients a great 2023 and looking forward to building new relationships as well. Call Dr. Taylor Mouse at 580-225-0200 to schedule a visit or for after-hours emergency. Okay. When I come back, I'll have some updates on the weather out here in West Texas, some temperatures. I picked a town down way south, not too far south, but across the Red River, south of Altus. I'll give you an update on that in Texas, and we'll have Gary McManus with the Oklahoma Mesonet System, and he is our state climatologist. We'll be right back after this.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City is celebrating 35 years in business thanks to you, their loyal customers. Bobby and Trish invite you to help them celebrate all year long. Stop by every chance you get. They look forward to seeing you. DJ's Rentals and Sales on South Main in Elk City, where they rent most everything and sell new mowers too. See all they have to offer at DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com. And be sure to check out their ad in each week's Penny News.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 4th at 12:30 p.m. Selling 84 bulls that have been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. They got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 4th at 12:30 at a new location. From the Burns Flat Cotton Gin, go 1 mile east and a quarter mile south. Get information at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Real quick. Mr. Drew Cobb on Tradio, he wanted me to do this. Brian Dobbs, if you're listening out there, happy 5-6 birthday, buddy. It's a good one. Wait till you get mine. 61, it's just downhill from there. Currently right off the West Texas Mesonet, and Gary, I know you can hear this. Don't be offended that I'm reading off the West Texas Mesonet. 42 degrees at Odell, Texas. Humidity is 90%. The winds are out of the north at 11 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today was 36 miles an hour. And you have 0.38 inches of rain, 38 one-hundredths. So far today, no red flag minutes and no sub-freezing minutes. And 8-inch soil temperature is 50 degrees. Well, joining me right now on the telephone is Mr. Gary McManus. He is the state climatologist and the comedian for the state Mesonet Facebook site. Is that correct?
Comedian. I think I resemble that remark.
I have to look your deal up every day on Facebook so I can just laugh.
Well, that's actually what we try and do, because in Oklahoma, if you're not laughing about the weather, you're definitely crying about it most days. So let's just laugh about it instead of crying, okay?
That's a true statement. That's very well put, because that's the reason why I get on there, just so I can smile or laugh, because I don't know if you're going to have something from Magic Mike or Star Trek or Battlestar Galactic. I don't know what you're going to have on there, but it's fun following you on the Mesonet. And you, by the way, you guys do a great job with the Mesonet. And for first-time listeners, Gary was on the show last year, and he is actually from the big town of Buffalo, Oklahoma, northwestern Oklahoma.
That's right, the home of the bison.
Hey, and you got to be careful now. We have 100.1 KWFX doing the show live up there now, so don't be talking about nobody up there because they're listening.
Yeah, I usually talk bad about Laverne. They were our arch rivals growing up. So, I think they're a lot bigger than us now. I think Buffalo shrunk quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that's the last I heard they were. Well, the Oklahoma Mesonet, I brag on you guys all the time. You have one of the it's one of the greatest tools that a rancher or farmer can have. There's everything on there that you need, basically. I don't know if anything's missing, and you guys do a great job with it. How did the Mesonet in Oklahoma come about?
Well, you know, first, the Mesonet, of course, is a series of 120 stations across the state, meteorological measuring stations. Like you said, we measure just about everything from rainfall to atmospheric pressure, temperatures. We measure soil moisture, soil temperatures, everything an ag producer could need. And we've been doing that since 1994 in the state of Oklahoma. So everybody has a Mesonet site in their county. And oddly enough, the beginnings of the Oklahoma Mesonet in 1994 started a decade earlier with the Tulsa Memorial Day flood back in 1984. The former director, now deceased, my mentor from the Oklahoma Climatological Survey, Dr. Ken Crawford, he was head of the National Weather Service in the state at that time. And, you know, that flood in Tulsa killed so many people and caused so much damage. They just didn't get enough warning because there wasn't dense enough observations of the rainfall around the Tulsa area. And that's when he came up with the idea of, what about a more dense network of meteorological stations in the state of Oklahoma? And he got together with folks at the Oklahoma State University Ag Department. Folks like Dr. Ron Elliott, who was in the Ag Department there for many, many years, still part of the Maisonette, and they got together, and together the two organizations, the Ag Department there at OSU and also the Oklahoma Climate Survey there at OU, they came up with this idea for the Oklahoma Maisonette. And Maisonette simply stands for a mesoscale network. So the mesoscale, if you think about what you would normally see on the TV stations back in the day before the Maisonette, you would see like Gage, Guymon, Wichita Falls,
Amarillo,
Rocky, Oklahoma City, Amarillo. So you'd see these widely spaced meteorological measurements out there, and you'd say, well, what's happening in between those? We don't know. So that's where the Maisonette came on board. And it took about 10 years to get it going. And, you know, oddly enough, it's one of the few things that OSU and OU can agree on, and that's running of the Oklahoma Maisonette. So we are housed at the University of Oklahoma there at the National Weather Center at the Oklahoma Climatological Survey. Lots of organizations there, but it is a joint effort between Oklahoma State University and the University of Oklahoma. And it's been going absolutely awesome ever since it started in 1994.
Yeah, and you got to be a proud individual to be part of it, because it is. It's awesome. I noticed Kansas has come along with theirs pretty good. And then I briefly look at the West Texas one. They just got right up and running here a little bit. They got a few details on it, and I know it's all work in progress. And you know, it's just
sure.
I'm an OU fan, so I get the dog on the West Texas boys, Texas A&M, yeah. Tech or Tech Longhorns. I want a dog on them. I know they're my listeners, but it's fun. You know,
sure.
We gotta have a little fun on the show. And then who thought of all these different items? You know, you're talking about, the doctor was talking about, you know, we need more deals to, like at the Tulsa flood. But, I mean, then you start talking about these cattle temperatures out there where, you know, cattle, when are they under high stress, soil temperatures, soil moisture. And you being from Buffalo and probably a farm boy, you know how important that is for us to know all this out there.
You bet. And since we basically started as the agricultural network. So there were different purposes, of course. And now we train emergency managers across the state in the use of the Maisonette and radar data. And we train like firefighters, fire departments, and how to use the OK Fire, which is the fire planning model and the fire suppression model that we run. It's all run off of Maisonette data. But all these things come along from basically the educational institution. So with the Ag Network aspect of it, that of course comes from OSU. What would you really need if you started an Ag Network? And so we started out with those basic measurements in the Maisonette, and then we said, well, we have these products. What can we produce from these products? That's where researchers from Oklahoma State University, they came along and said, well, we can get grants and we can study, what would we do with this? What would we do with that? So we have the, like the pecan scab model that's good for the pecan growers. We have the cattle comfort measurements that it's measured just from the regular Maisonette data, but it's how does that impact cattle, whether it's really, really hot or really, really cold. And so we have all of these byproducts of the regular Maisonette data. Now, as far as how we chose what we started to measure just to begin with, before we came up with all these derived products like the cattle comfort or the scab model or whatever, that's generally just, you know, what would we get from the federal networks right now, let's say in Oklahoma City, Amarillo, Guymon, Gage, those areas, and what can we do to enhance that? So we have all the what would be considered the standard meteorological measurements like winds, temperatures, things of that nature. Then we came along and added things like soil moisture, soil temperature, and that. So together between OSU and OU, OU on the weather side, OSU on the ag side, we came together with that suite of measurements that we now have.
It's awesome. So do you help out with doing adjoining states with helping development of their deals, or do you guys talk at all about that?
Yeah, we certainly do. And, of course, Oklahoma was the first, and obviously we're the best. I think we can still brag on that. We've won a ton of awards. The MESNET's won a ton of awards for its innovation and its management over the years. And we did have a few things back in the early 2000s where we tried to have people come in. We had these big meetings where other states would come in, and we would tell them how we did it here. Now we just sort of help along who comes to ask for it. So there is a national MESNET effort, but a lot of the MESNETs are patterned off of what we've done here in Oklahoma over the last basically almost 30 years now. So when Kansas got theirs going, when West Texas got theirs going, there's going to be other efforts. New York has a big network, and they even stole some of our people, if you can imagine that. So,
what? They must have not been true-blooded Okies.
No, a lot of people working in the weather center there in Norman, they're not from Oklahoma, so they stole some of our folks from other places. You know, they wanted to go other places. But we are the gold standard for MESNETs, and so we certainly help other folks along when they want to start theirs.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I guess not knocking OSU when I say this, by no means, because OSU is one of the big reasons we have such a great MESNET. But, you know, OU being the big center of meteorology schools, you know, it's, you know, in the National Weather Service has an advantage of being stationed right there in Norman.
Right, and, you know, that's one of the things, since the OU Meteorology School is considered one of the best, if not the best, in the country, and in fact, the world.
World.
So just like OSU has those researchers that can help with things with the pecan scab model and cattle comfort, I just keep going back to the couple of them. We also have dispersion model that helps people with spraying and other things. So many different things on there for the ag community. We have the same thing for the meteorological community. So researchers at the University of Oklahoma, and in fact, researchers from around the world come and get our data, and they use that to produce other products and other research efforts. So it really is not only a great planning tool, it's a great real-time weather preparedness tool, but it's also a great research tool for not only ag producers, but also meteorological researchers from around the world.
Yeah, because I remember when I was growing up back in the I was born in the 60s, but growing up in the late 60s and even during the 70s, you know, our weather was two stations out of Oklahoma City, one station out of Amarillo, and we had better luck with Amarillo back then because Oklahoma City didn't know where Elk City was out here, but Amarillo.
I'm from Buffalo.
I know. And so when you say Buffalo, they was probably thinking of animal if they could come up there and pet one or something. But there's but we listened to Amarillo weather back then was awesome, you know, because that's all we had. We didn't have direct TV and dish and all this other crap.
Yes, yes.
But this MESNET, you know, back in the 80s when we were baling hay, we didn't know when the humidity was going to be this or the dew point.
Yep.
And we'd go out there about an hour after dark, and we'd sit there. It might be all night, and sit there and have to wake up all the time to check, see if the hay went into case. Now, I don't even leave the house until I check the MESNET, and humidity's 60%.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I grew up in the same era, and we had the same problems in Buffalo. None of the TV stations' radars reached Buffalo. We were just on the edge of everything. We had Dodge City, Amarillo, and Oklahoma City all just right on the edge of a pit in Buffalo. So we never knew what was going on. But that's the same thing that we had, you know, when you go out to buck bales. What's the humidity? Are the bales going to be just heavier because of the humidity and the dew on the ground? So it's great for every aspect of our lives, and it's certainly proven that over the last 30 years.
Yeah, and we get to watch soil temperatures in our area because you got so many MESNET centers in Oklahoma, stations in Oklahoma. You know, we can tell our ground temperature when we need to plant our gardens and stuff. I mean, it's just not just farm and ranch, and it's garden stuff. But I got a question for you before we go to break.
Okay.
Ask Mr. McManus, hey, he doesn't know you, does he? If a ranch or person could sponsor a mezzanine weather station, for example, my ranch south of Cooperton, I am in between existing stations in Lawton and Hobart, but since I am at a west side of the Wichita Mountains, my weather is quite a bit different than it is at Lawton.
Yes, now it'd be wonderful if we could put a mezzanet site on every piece of land in the state of Oklahoma. Boy, wouldn't that be great.
Oh, yeah.
Think of the data coverage we would have. And we get this question more than any other question. And it's really just not possible. You know, each one of these stations costs about $40,000 to put in. And then it costs a certain amount of money to maintain, because all of our stations are research quality. So they get maintained very meticulously by our mezzanet technicians who travel the state. It's just so much money, and we've been going through budget cuts just like everybody else in the state over the last 10 years and longer. So it's just not possible, unfortunately, to put these sites everywhere that people want those. And in fact, you know, if we lose a site, we do work hard to replace a site very close by, but we really are not probably going to be in the business of adding more sites over the next few years, unless we get a large influx of cash or something of that nature, you know. So I understand that there's all these micro-scale climates out there. You know, within a county, you can have different climates even within a county. We simply do the best we can with our mesonet scale work, however.
Work. Well, Gary, we're going to take a break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to talk about weather patterns, La Nina, El Nina, and whatever else you can throw out there to make us feel better.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Today's young people face a rapidly changing future. The FFA gives its members a chance to gain vital experience in technology, agri-science, marketing, and many other fields to help prepare them for the jobs of tomorrow.
Today and every day in 2023, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Lewis Cattle is proud to support all of our regional FFA chapters, and they look forward to working with our future stewards of the land. Way to go, FFA.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that, because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Duresha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hello and
good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, February 6th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,911 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 425 brought 258. 6 at 581 brought 195. 25 at 685 brought 191. 75 at 699 brought 182. 26 at 770 brought 179.75. 74 at 802 brought 182.50. 5 head of heifers at 320 brought 217. 21 at 475 brought 210. 10 at 504 brought 191. 11 at 659 brought 174. 33 at 791 brought 170.50. 14 at 826 brought 169. 71 at 933 brought 163. Butcher cows were 18 to 100. Butcher bulls brought 91 to 123.50. Bred cows were 1,000 to 1850. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. And sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, real quickly, here is your weather forecast for northwestern Oklahoma, southern Kansas, and the northeastern corner of the Texas Panhandle. I am going to be really nice today and pick the hometown of Mr. McManus's Buffalo, Oklahoma. Currently, it is 52 degrees, feels like 52, humidity's 31, no rain for you guys so far today, northeast winds at 11 miles an hour, you'll be 51 today, you're already past that, tomorrow, slight chance of rain, maybe snow, Thursday, breezy, 47, Friday, sunny and 50, and Saturday looks just beautiful, be a good day for a picnic, mostly sunny and 64 degrees. All right, either I haven't been paying attention, Mr. McManus, or I just now found it. But when I brought up the forecast for Buffalo, it says, I seen in the headlines, it says a new mezzanet.org is coming soon. So I tried the preview. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so we try to keep up with all the technological changes over the past few years. So everything's going to mobile. So most people now are looking at these sorts of sites on their phones or pads or whatever you have, iPad or, you know, tablet, whatever you might have. So we're going away from something that's more suited for the desktops and the computers, and we're going for something that's more suited for the mobile experience. And, you know, some of what we did on our old website, which is still there for a little bit longer, it just wasn't supported anymore in the technology, so we did have to make a change eventually. We've had this current website in its current form for over a decade, so we do have to change it. You know, we get a lot of folks squawking and complaining once we do change, but they get used to it eventually.
That was cool. I just brought it up, and I was like, I'm going to pick Buffalo, and then I seen it up here. Try the preview, and I thought, all right, I'm going to try it. And it was cool.
Right, so everybody bear with us as we change, and then if you've been a long time Mezzanet observer looking at our website, well, it'll be a bit of a shock, but it's definitely a little bit better when you start to go out on your phone and you look at things. It's going to be a much better for you, much better experience.
Are you sure it was because Texas was catching up with you guys?
they'll have to catch up with us again, so there you go.
Hey. What's it look like? What's the La Nina doing? What's the El Nino looking like? What do we got going? Can you inspire us ag producers out here today?
Sure. So this La Nina, La Nina is the cooling of the oceanic waters off the west coast of South America. It's the opposite of El Nino, which is the warming of the waters off the west coast of South America. When you have La Nina, or make a long story short, basically it disrupts the world's weather patterns, and what it does for the United States, it moves that jet stream a little bit farther to the north, and it means folks down here in western Oklahoma, they get, on average, during La Nina periods, we get drier and warmer than normal weather, and we've had three straight La Ninas now, which is extremely rare. This is the third straight cool season with La Nina. It is expected to, when I say they don't always work out the same way every La Nina, they're all different, but in general, they tilt the odds towards warmer and drier than normal weather, and I think we can definitely say we've seen that more often than not over the last 3 years. This La Nina is dying out, so it's expected to fade out over the next couple of months, which is certainly welcome. As we go out through the summer, we'll get a better idea of what it's going to do next cool season, because it's mainly a cool season phenomenon. It looks like right now, if you were going to predict it, it would be an El Nino, which, you know, opposite of La Nina, what it does, it tends to favor a little bit wetter than normal conditions out across this part of the country. So we would hope for an El Nino. It's a little bit too early to say, but we could start to see an El Nino form as we get into the fall, and then we'll see what it does for the next cool season. We're talking basically, you know, like the October through March or April time frame. That's when it tends to do the most impact. But whenever it impacts the weather, that part, that 6 months of the year, whatever that is, that can lead to changes throughout the rest of the year. So we much would rather have an El Nino than a La Nina. But even then, you know, a weak El Nino tends to bring us a little bit drier than normal weather, too. So we want one of those moderate to strong El Ninos for western Oklahoma, and maybe get a little bit more favorable moisture pattern out in that country.
Yeah, us folks out here west of Highway 183, as I call it, that's the divide line. That's when we go from like monsoon to desert conditions. That's what I call it. But anyway, it would be great, because, man, our old ponds, most of them are dry, and they're starting to struggle pretty hard. And we would sure appreciate some rain this spring, because actually last February is when I got the most pond water runoff in February last year. And I'll take it this February. I'll take it today, if that's what it means. But usually it's like March or April or May when we get these pond fillers, you know. So it's been crazy weather. I've been paid a lot more attention to it than I used to. But, when you and I were kids, we had big old snowstorms and this and that and stuff. And, you know, we're still getting the same amount of moisture per year, if it's not a drought year, that we did when we was kids. It's just not coming in the form of snow. And so,
right.
And that's fine. I don't care. I mean, we got a pretty good snow out here last week, so we're not complaining.
Sure. There are differences between what we saw back in the 70s and 80s when we were growing up versus what we see now. And that's just part of how the climate's changing. You know, as we start to warm up, continue to warm up in the world, you know, some of that dry, arid air from the desert southwest is starting to push the difference between what western Oklahoma used to be. It's starting to make you more like West Texas versus, you know, where it used to be back in the 80s, even the 90s. So that's just one of the changes we see. Another change we're seeing out in that part of the world, in that part of the state, of course, is
it's another world. Go ahead, say it.
Yeah, it's another world. I mean, I prefer that part of the world, but whatever. So, one of the things we're seeing is the changes in how that precipitation falls. So, as you said, not as much in the way of big snows, but also it's raining fewer days, but it's raining harder when it does rain, or freezing rain or sleet or whatever. The precipitation events are starting to get farther and farther apart, but they're more intense when they do occur. So that has huge ramifications for ag producers, for people that manage lakes or whatever you're trying to do, for people that are worried about flash flooding, which I know Elk City has a flash flooding problem a time or two.
Yes.
So it does have huge ramifications when we start to change that intense precipitation frequency.
Yes, and I understand. Well, the gentleman that texted in to ask about the Mezzanet Center down there at Cooperton, he said, thanks for asking. Figured it was a money deal. Should have instead asked Gary if he had a McManus recommend it for a commercial weather station.
Let's see. There's some good weather stations. They're not going to be, of course, as good as ours, because ours is research quality, but it's pretty good at a pinch. The Davis, I think, is one of the good ones, the Davis weather stations.
Okay.
I'm really not familiar with too many weather stations, but I think that the Davis weather stations are really good. Now, of course, you can spend a lot of money, or you can spend just a little bit of money Just depends on how complex you want to get. So look for Davis, I think, first, and then go from there.
He said he tried researching to buy one online, but it made his head hurt.
So, yeah, definitely.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for telling us how the Mezzanet actually got started, and thank you for what you guys do up there at OU and OSU, Stillwater and Norman, and keep it up. And I can't wait to see what you guys coming up with this new deal that you're developing right now. Because from what I just seen at Buffalo, that was cool. That was really cool.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff always in the works. And I certainly appreciate you having me on to talk to the great folks of Western Oklahoma, where my heart still lies. A little bit farther north, but I'll take all of Western
it's
Oklahoma.
It's Western, yeah.
Eastern.
It's Western.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And if you want to take a tour, they still have his childhood home as a museum up there. No, not really.
Oh, yeah, right. Might get shot if you try that. So be careful.
Gary McManus, he's our Oklahoma State climatologist, and he's the head guru at the Oklahoma Mezzanet Center. And if you follow him on Facebook, it'll make you smile every day, I promise you. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
You bet, anytime.
All right, have a great day.
You too.
We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves. A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day. That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with high-pro. For high-pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is February 22nd at 12:30 at the ranch near Leedy, selling 150 two-year-old bulls. Sires include Deer Valley Growth Fund, Monin Dakota, Baldridge Alternative, and several other breed-leading AI sires. Also selling commercial females carrying QC Genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale, Wednesday, February 22nd at 12:30 at Quartermaster Creek Ranch southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online. For videos and sale information, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
Once again, good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, February 3rd. 714 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 330 brought 220. 12 at 400 brought 244. 7 at 471 brought 220. 3 at 520 brought 198. 6 at 593 brought 188. 16 at 677 brought 190. 47 at 761 brought 179.50. 5 head of heifers at 358 brought 214. 4 at 438 brought 192. 3 at 483 brought 190. 11 at 530.
38 brought 188. 14 at 586 brought 187. 10 at 677 brought 174. 22 at 720 brought 168.50. Butcher cows were 61 to 104. Butcher bulls brought 80 to 120. Bred cows were 850 to 1500. Pairs brought 1350 to 1425. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Stock Meat Veterinary Clinic Happy Cap Hour, all hour, every Tuesday. So I'm trying this again on my Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast here. I'm going to pick Hobart today, and I'm doing the new preview, and it's really cool. On the laptop, I don't know what, or on my computer here, but I don't know what it looks like on the, I don't even know if it'll let you try it yet on the your mobile, but this is really cool. It makes my job a lot easier. Right now at Hobart, it's 44 degrees, feels like 36. Total rainfall for today is 3/100ths of an inch, or 30/1000ths of an inch, as people from around Grimes want me to call it. Anyway, humidity 71%. The winds are out of the northeast at 22 with wind gust up to 29. Sunrise 7:31, sunset 6:10. We're about an hour and 21 minutes away from 12 hours of sunshine. It's coming today. 50% chance of showers, 45 for a high. Almost there. Tonight, 30% chance of rain. And then again tomorrow, 40% chance of rain with 50 for a high. Tomorrow night, 30. Thursday is going to be breezy, 52 degrees with north winds 10 to 25 miles an hour with wind gust up to 35. Friday looks a little bit better, 51 and sunny with winds 15 to 18 with 25 mile an hour again. But Saturday, mostly sunny, 60 degrees, south winds 8 to 10 miles an hour. Sounds like a day to get some, go get the beef out of the freezer. Fired up because Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, and I can't wait. It's going to be a great game. I don't know how I can root for both teams because I'm a big Chiefs fan, but man, I love the Eagles too. So anyway, I got my money on the Eagles. I hope that doesn't disappoint some of you. But I got to go with the bettors on that one. So anyway, we got that going on. All right, what else we got going on? Oh, I'm supposed to mention a bull sale, or I need to every day, and I was going to mention Quartermaster, but since Nathan just talked about it, I'll mention Quartermaster tomorrow. But today, I'm going to mention the OK&T Angus Breeders Association 82nd Annual Bull Sale. Actually, it's in Buffalo, Oklahoma, so today's show is about Buffalo. It'll be at the Fairgrounds Pavilion February 15th at 1 o'clock, and it is on a Wednesday. There's 73 registered Angus lots, 48 bulls, 12 open females, 11 bred females, and 2 pairs. For catalogs, contact Denny Jenkins. He's the secretary of the OK&T, 580-938-1094. And actually, I hear through the grapevine, and I hope I'm not wrong, he had a couple of the top sellers at the Roger Mills Cattlemen Association, Cattle Association, all breed sale Saturday. So congratulations, Denny. Nice cattle, nice bulls. Anyway, you can also go to www.oktangus.com. All right, and it will be on live auction TV also. So check it out. Get your penny news ad right there on page number 9, right there on the left-hand side, to check it out and give Denny a call. He'd appreciate it. Okay, a few more things before we're already out of time almost. But anyway, I wanted to, Dr. Peel from Oklahoma State University. Oklahoma has been impacted by the drought more than any other state by several measures. The January 1st inventory of all cattle and calves in Oklahoma was down 11.5% year over year, from a 2022 total of 5.2 million head to 4.6 million head. The decrease of 600,000 head, and that's a lot of cattle, was double the second largest of all cattle decrease in Nebraska. The decrease in Oklahoma cattle inventories included decreases in the beef cow herd, replacement heifers, feeder supplies, and feedlot inventories. The Oklahoma beef cow herd decreased by 140,000 in 2022. That was the largest state decrease in the country, to a January 1 total of 1.98 million head, a 6.66% decrease year over year, and the lowest beef inventory since 2016. Oklahoma still is the second largest beef cow state after Texas, but now it's barely bigger than Missouri. I think we're number four, number five now. So anyway, hopefully state climatologist McManus is giving us some hope there a little bit. You know, it's all a prediction. It's a science. And hopefully the La Nina is going bye-bye and we get into a wetter weather pattern. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and God bless.